Now, last Friday, Bob Mueller's long-awaited investigative report was sent to the Attorney General, and on Sunday, the results of Mueller's investigation were summarized by Attorney General Barr. After 2 years of Democrats and their fake news allies dividing this country with lies about Trump colluding with Russia in the 2016 election, we now know that the Mueller team was unable to find any instance of Trump-Russia collusion by Trump or anyone else connected to him. You'd think that the Democrats, who keep claiming that there was a mountain of evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, would be remorseful, but you'd be wrong. The talking heads at CNN, MSNBC, and the hack writers at New York Times and Washington Post would apologize. But again, you'd be wrong. This political vendetta cost the American taxpayers more than $25 million. Bob Mueller loaded his investigative team with Democrats who hated Donald Trump. They would have traded their souls for evidence that Trump colluded with Russia, but they found absolutely none. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, if you cannot agree that the Mueller investigation was a horrible waste of time and money, you're not being honest. If you cannot agree that CNN and MSNBC were biased against Trump and repeatedly lied in their coverage, you are not being honest. If you cannot agree that key congressional Democrats lied repeatedly about Trump's involvement with Russia, you're not being honest. Still, even after the Mueller report showed up, these people continue to lie. They want to keep on investigating Trump, and they're willing to keep lying to do it. Gerald Nadler and Adam Schiff are sick individuals with no conscience. It is their intention to keep America in turmoil right up to the 2020 election in an effort to regain power. It is time to stop the madness. Time to tell the Democrats to spend your time correcting America's problems, many of which you created, and stop the lies. They've been caught lying. See them for what they are, and let's get on with America's business. When senseless violence like the March killing of Muslims at prayer in New Zealand happens, all rational people rise up to condemn it. The killer was a self-professed white nationalist. There is no place in our world for people who consider themselves better than others because of the color of their skin. There is also no place in our world for people who follow dictates to kill all non-believers of their religion. And that presents a difficulty for most of us. We cannot condone the killing of Muslims, whether at prayer or not. The New Zealand shooter claimed to be against immigration, but he himself was an Australian and therefore an immigrant in New Zealand. Such is the logic of rabid killers. This misfit believed that his race was superior and that he had to act to rid the world of these more inferior people. This madman must face justice as quickly as possible, and if convicted, hopefully face the death penalty. Having said that, and making myself clear about my stand against white nationalism, black nationalism, and anti-Semitism, we cannot simply ignore the threat of radical Islam. There is no evidence that any of the Muslims killed in New Zealand was in the rabid camp. But the fact remains that if you follow Islam and the Quran, the Islamic Bible, how do you ignore the admonition to kill non-believers? We've been warned repeatedly that Islam intends to dominate the world and bring every person in that world under Sharia law. Kneel before Allah, they tell us, or face death. Here in our own country, we're confronted with the threat of radical Islam. Congress now has three Muslims in it who prefer the Quran to the Bible and who have made it clear that they have no interest in assimilating into America. They have an Islamic agenda and a fierce hatred of Israel and Jewish people. When Judge Jeanine Pirro questioned the loyalty of Sharia law by Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota and Rashid Tlaib of Michigan. Her program was suspended by Fox News. Other commentators on Fox News come under daily fire, too, for their opinions because of a concerted effort by liberal groups like Media Matters and their followers on Fox officials. They're like a bulldog on a pork chop. They seek to silence any conservative view while cheering on the fake news medium outlets like CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Fox News alone has been the only electronic media outlet to present conservative views. Now, for Fox News, it appears to be caving in to the liberal cause. Fox founder Rupert Murdoch has pretty much turned over the reins of the network to his sons, who are far more liberal. I began my career in talk radio more than a half century ago because even then I could see the bias of the mainstream media, and that bias has only grown stronger and more blatant since then. The issue of radical Islam deserves our attention. These radicals have no timetable for conquering us. They will do it one immigrant at a time. Not all Muslim immigrants are in tune with radicals, but all Muslim immigrants are in tune with the Quran and its demand to make non-believers bow down to Islam dominance. How does one follow the Quran and not present a danger to those who are non-believers? I ask that question in all seriousness, and I'd love to hear that answer from Islamic followers. Having said that, we cannot condone violence against Muslims simply because they are Muslims. It's a tricky path we follow. America's Trojan horse is in place. While most Americans turned a blind eye to the danger of radical Muslims in Congress, they were slipped past the gates by voters in Minnesota and Michigan in the form of Ilhan Omar, a Democrat in Minnesota, and Rashid Tlaib, a Democrat in Michigan. The United States naively allowed enough Muslim refugees from Somalia to form a district called Little Mogadishu, and that district predictably elected a radical Muslim, Ilhan Omar, to Congress. This radical Muslim has made it clear that she will not assimilate into the American culture and that she stands against what most Americans hold dear. Omar admits that she took a terrorism class in college. She has ties to CARE and through them to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. In the past, Ilhan Omar sought leniency for 9 men who were accused of trying to join ISIS to fight against America. She voted against a bill that would deny life insurance payouts to families of those killed while trying to visit Allah's will of killing non-believers. Reports are that she married her own brother in order to get him into this country. Ilhan Omar has been in the news lately for her hatred of the Jewish people and her desire to see Israel destroyed. Nancy Pelosi put her on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, where Omar continued to exhibit her anti-Semitism and was called out by Republicans and the Jewish community. Pelosi and Democrats refused to specifically hold her to account with condemnation and instead spoke out against all hate. The Jewish community should be appalled and should withdraw all support for Democrats. Joel Pollack pointed out that the last thing Ilhan Omar wants is a debate about a so-called Palestine. But debate about what exactly? There is no such thing as a Palestinian state, and there has never been one. The ragtag group that proposes to be the Palestinian leadership continues to promote terror and incite hatred. Omar would rather cast anti-Semitic aspersions on pro-Israel Americans than hold those so-called Palestinian leaders accountable. There are many lies told about Israel by this ragtag group of people calling themselves Palestinians. First is the lie that Israel discriminates against Arab citizens. The facts show otherwise. Israel is one of the most open societies in the world. Out of a population of almost 8 million, 1.3 million are Muslims, 130,000 are Christians, and 100,000 are Druze. All have equal voting rights in Israel. Israel is one of the very few places where Arab women have the right to vote, and Arabs hold several seats in the Knesset. Following a 5-year trial in a landmark decision for women's rights, an Arab judge, Salim Jubran, sentenced the former president of Israel, Moshe Katsav, to 7 years in prison for rape. In what Muslim country do Jews have such rights? How many seats do Jews hold in the Saudi government or Jordan? The answer is none. Can anybody recall a Jewish judge sentencing a prominent Arab in Egypt? More to the point, has anyone ever heard of a Jewish judge in Egypt? Then there's the lie that the Palestinian Authority protects Jewish holy sites. If only that was true, the one important element blocking a sincere peace would be eliminated. Just in the years between 1996 and 2000, there were several destructions. In September 1996, so-called Palestinian rioters destroyed a synagogue at Joseph's Tomb in Nablus. Rachel's Tomb near Bethlehem has been repeatedly attacked since 1996. In October 2000, Joseph's Tomb was torched after the Israeli garrison guarding it was temporarily withdrawn. In October 2000, the ancient synagogue in Jericho was destroyed by arson, and a second historic synagogue was damaged. Forget about protecting these sites. In textbooks, speech, and daily life, the Palestinians and their supporters absurdly deny any Jewish connection to those ancient landmarks. This all occurs under nominal Israeli control of those areas. One can only imagine the fate of Jewish holy sites left to Palestinian stewardship. This brings us to the greatest canard of them all, the foundation on which every Palestinian lie is based. The claim that Jews are building settlements on Palestinian land. That lacks any basis in historical fact. There is no Palestinian land. If there were, when would it have been founded, and by whom? What would its borders have been? And what about the name of its capital? What would its major cities have been? Was Palestine ever recognized as an entity by another country, including Arabs? What was the language of the country called Palestine? What was the name of its currency? Since there is no such country today, what caused its demise? These questions were posed to a Japanese writer, Yohiko Sagamori. The truth is that at no time in history has there ever been a nation called Palestine. During the Ottoman Empire, which lasted from 1299 to 1922 CE, the land dubbed by the Romans as Palestine was controlled by the Turks. There was never an outcry for a Palestinian state then. During the illegal annexation of Judea and Samaria by the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, subsequent to the 1949 armistice and prior to 1967, there was never talk of an occupied territory or a Palestinian state. Throughout the annals of history, Israel is the only nation who was victorious in war on successive occasions and then was expected by the vanquished and the world at large to sue for peace, to cede the land that they had reclaimed that was historically theirs to begin with. The Jewish people were driven out of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria by the Babylonians. They returned to their homeland and rebuilt the Second Temple only to have it burned down again, this time by the Romans, and to be, once again, exiled from their own land. Despite 27 invasions and conquests subsequent to the grand monarchy of Kings David and Solomon, Jews have always had a contiguous connection to this land. Certainly, the Jewish people have at least as great a legitimate claim to their historic homeland as the so-called Palestinian Arabs do. Israel did not steal Palestinian land. It's never been their land. This land was given to the Jewish people, as stated in the Bible by the Creator. David Catron of The Speculator said it best when he said, "The anti-Semitism of Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib is too important not to be taken seriously." Rashida Tlaib is a Muslim from the 13th District of Michigan. She's a member of the Democrat Socialist of America, with ties to the militant CARE group, and thus ties to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. Rashida Tlaib has also made it clear that she will not assimilate into American culture. She was sworn into Congress with the Palestinian flag wrapped around her and swore her oath on a Quran, not the Bible. Tlaib has a world map in her Washington office. The State of Israel has been taken off that map. Such is her hate and anti-Semitism. The non-Palestinian majority of voters in Detroit, a district of roughly 59% African Americans, elected her to the 13th district, and on the first day on the job, Tlaib called out, "I am a Palestinian," and about the American president, she proclaimed that they were going to impeach the, and she used a word involving sex and the mother. Tlaib is a dangerous radical who needs to be exposed. She was a heckler at one of Donald Trump's MAGA rallies and was booted out. How does somebody get elected with such a lack of class, demeanor, and respect for the office of president? Only in the Democratic Party. Jenny Grumwald is an economist, and she pointed out that the rise of socialism in America is real and dangerous. It is, fortunately, not very often that a self-proclaimed socialist wins elections in the United States yet, but when such an event does happen, it's a terrible loss for the foundations of American society. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in her early 20s, worked in a New York bar before she victoriously nabbed New York State's 14th congressional district seat in the Democratic primary against Democrat incumbent Joe Crowley. Being from a radical New York district, Cortez went on to win Crowley's seat in Congress. Since then, she's engaged in nationwide conversations about the benefits of socialist policies, including advocating for a single-payer health care system, job guarantees, and government-provided affordable housing. She is dangerous, as many people of her generation support her and either forget or who have never known about how socialist systems have historically led to famine, mass murder, and the devastation of countries. Just as we see today in Venezuela, Ocasio-Cortez will begin with something that she is championing called the Green New Deal. If adopted, the Green New Deal would bankrupt our country. It calls for doing away with all fossil fuels and the millions of jobs they provide. Doing away with cars and airplanes and the millions of jobs they provide. Killing the dairy industry by doing away with cows, who Cortez and her loony Democrat followers believe fart too much. There is much more insanity connected to this Green New Deal, but you get the picture. Ocasio-Cortez has even gotten some long-term Democrats to sign on to her buffoonery. Cortez believes that health care should be a basic right and that the government should pay for it. Democrats and Ocasio-Cortez truly believe that single-payer health care systems are better than anything the free market can come up with, and they point to the enormous costs of American medicine as proof. Yet, universal health care is its own disaster, evidenced by the dramatic failure and runaway costs of Medicare in this country. Medicare arguably functions like a single-payer system, acting as a monopoly for health care for seniors. The result of Medicare's low reimbursement policy is a decline in the quality of medicine, as there are simply not enough funds to pay for high-quality service and product. Seniors are held captive by Medicare, which not only dictates what services they can and cannot receive, but in some cases forbids them from using private insurance to pay for better quality service. The government mandates health care for veterans. How's that worked out? In addition, since its inception, Medicare has seen a stratospheric rise in costs and the burden that it places on taxpayers. Medicare accounts for 15% of the annual federal spending, and its growth rate is the fastest out of any of the programs paid for by the federal government. By 2023, total spending on Medicare is forecasted to reach over $1 trillion, double the spending of just 6 years ago. In addition, the trust fund for Medicare Part A is forecasted to completely run out by 2026. Now let's look at the idea of the federal government providing everyone with high-quality unemployment that pays at least minimum wage. According to Ocasio-Cortez and her Democratic followers, a federal jobs guarantee should be set up to make sure that every American has a job that pays at least minimum wage. I hear from business people every day that they cannot find people to work, and they are paying at or above minimum wage. But when a job is created simply to create a job, the economy suffers because those jobs will not be created in the public sector, which has to adhere to the cost-benefit analysis in employment to be profitable. Those extra jobs necessarily have to then come from the federal government. Ocasio-Cortez's jobs guarantee has been tried and historically has never succeeded. Instead, forcing the countries that adopt it into a state of low growth that appears to be permanent. The Democrats' Green New Deal calls for paying people who don't even want to work and providing them with vacations. Another brilliant idea proposed by Ocasio-Cortez is replacing capitalism with socialism. The original idea of free markets has performed the closest thing the world has ever seen. Over the past 25 years, living standards have risen, growth and innovation have been spurred. The congressional win of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sets a dangerous precedent for politics and for society. Socialist policies have destroyed countries and people wherever they've been tried. We need to remember that our very way of life is a result of the success of capitalism, and we must elect a new generation of politicians that understand that. We cannot live under a regime of Ocasio-Cortez and her hero Bernie Sanders and what they have in mind for America. It is laughable that Ocasio-Cortez has become a socialist hero. She has no accomplishments and confirms that she is a bubblehead every time she opens her mouth. Recently, Ocasio-Cortez said on TV that America was just 10% above garbage. That's the extent of her patriotism. But the Democratic Party appears to have no control over this ticking time bomb. The good news is that anti-Semitism flowing from Cortez, Omar, and Rashida Tlaib will drive a lot of voters into the arms of the Republican Party. We've seen what capitalism can do, and we've seen the horrors of socialism. In 2020, American voters will choose between the two systems. All but six Democrats just voted to stop a resolution that prevents illegal aliens from voting in American elections. Think about that for a moment. Do you think that people who violate our laws crossing the border illegally should be allowed to select the leaders of our country by voting? Democrats see these illegals as votes, not people. By offering them enough free stuff at taxpayers' expense, They expect to get enough votes from them to tip the scale and keep Democrats in power. How any political party could be so consumed by the lust for power that they would destroy the very fabric of their own country in order to obtain that power should be a concern for all Americans, not only Republicans, but Democrats as well. I have a lot of good friends who are Democrats because they were born into the party and because at one time in our history, the Democratic Party actually stood for something positive. But that segment of the party has been hijacked by a radical group of socialists and communists who are determined to fundamentally change our country. Obama said that he would fundamentally change the country, and he did all he could to accomplish that, including funding Iran, the very people shouting death to America every day. Now we have Democrat socialists telling us we need to be fundamentally changed again. This country is not perfect, but it is closer to it than any nation on earth. The change we need is less toleration for those Democrat socialists that would lead us down the road that Venezuela took, and which has resulted in chaos and despair. We must avoid that road at all costs.